There was a time, not too long ago, when forest animals looked about in alarm and saw the air was changing from clear and fresh to a gray-brown smog. As the wind blew, they could see the smog moving toward the valley. When it reached the valley, it became very hard for all to breathe.
"The smog is getting thicker. Help!
Help me! Help!"
The forest animals quickly called a gathering, inviting all to attend. And so, all those who walked, crept, crawled, swam, and flew began to gather. Even the trees and the grass bent forward to hear. The rippling lake became quiet, and the sun did its best to shine down through the smog.
"Look!"
Beaver shouted, patting his large flat tail on the ground.
"The birds are leaving their nests, and the thick gray smog moves through the trees. It is hard for the bird families to breathe."
Thunder Bear spoke next, saying that when he was a little cub, his grandfather, Dancing Bear, told him a story. Dancing Bear had said,
"Someday the forest animals will see the air become smoky and change color. Then it will be hard to see the forest around us, and our eyes will sting and fill with tears. We will find it hard to breathe, and each breath will make us sick. When this happens, our forest medicine will not help us."
Grandfather Dancing Bear had said,
"Trees are the lungs for all living things on Earth." "Trees help clean the air, too. If the trees stop breathing, we will stop breathing."
Grandfather had added,
"As long as trees are plentiful and healthy, we too will be healthy. Our friends, the trees, provide homes for animals. They give us food, they regulate temperature, and they hold the soil together. Many animals cannot survive without trees. And trees are such fun to climb."
At this, Beaver shouted,
"My family and I gnaw down trees, and to make our homes, we do that. Should we stop doing this?"
A wise elder, Grandfather Little Hawk, swooped in, landing just in time to hear Beaver's worries.
"Oh, no," said Little Hawk. "When you build your homes, you do not take many trees. You never take more trees than you need. And those fallen trees make a dam for water. This gives our forest beautiful natural lakes and ponds. And when summer's heat becomes too much, your dam has stored plenty of water for all the animals, birds, fish, and insects. And if it doesn't rain, the plants still have water to drink."
"Oh, no, you are not hurting. You are helping. We thank you for your dams, Beaver."
Grandfather Little Hawk hopped up on a tree stump and spoke again.
"You can see the air is changing. It is causing us to cough. See this little green blade of grass? It is now sick. The grass, trees, vines, berries, fruit, nuts, soil, and water will become sicker with each passing day. Those two-legged's poison is making Mother Earth and everything around it sick."
The little chipmunk seated between Spider and Butterfly, was next to raise her little voice in fear. Although Chipmunk was young, everyone knew she was alert and quite smart indeed. All attending the gathering moved closer so they wouldn't miss even one word.
All our forest medicine is being poisoned, too. But I know what we can do. Send those two-leggeds back to where they came from so they cannot do any more harm to us and Mother Earth. But wait, wait. The people of the First Nations do not harm the Earth. They can stay. Let's send the others back.
Yes, Thunder Bear snarled. We of the forest were here first. We were doing just fine. None of us ever even thought of making the Earth sick.
Then all the other animals started to chatter and call out,
Send them back! Send them back! Send them back to where they came from!
Thunder Bear rose up on his hind legs, pawing in the air, and growled,
Where did they come from? One morning, we just woke up and found them walking around, stomping through our forest. Is there any of us who knows where they came from?
A hush fell over the animals. Each thought and thought, but none could answer the question. Finally, Grandfather Elk rose and spoke softly.
When I was small, it was said that they came from the mist as it moves onto the land just before daybreak. You know, that mist that hovers over the great water as it is slowly pushed by the wind.
Then, very wise, very thoughtful Owl fluttered her wings and whispered,
It has been said that they came from a mixture of water and soil.
Moose frowned at this, for she had heard the two-leggeds fell through a hole in the sky, landed in the mountains, then rolled down to the forest floor, and arrived feeling very angry. Grandfather Little Hawk bowed his head.
It does not matter where these new two-leggeds came from. They are here now, and we must decide how to stop them from making air hard to breathe. We must have ceremony and ask for answers.
All the animals, insects, birds, and even the trees, grass, and lake began calling to the Great Spirit.
Teach us! Show us the way! Teach us! Show us the way!
The sun struggled to be seen through the smog and tried to light their way. And as the wind moved through the tops of the trees, they heard a great voice saying,
Each of you must continue to live in a good way. You must continue to set an example for others.
Ah! That is our answer, whispered Turtle. Wolf stepped forward, his yellow eyes gleaming.
Yes, we must teach the two-leggeds by our own example. Whenever we wolves leave our den to look for food, we never leave our little ones unattended. We always assign responsibility to a teenage wolf. This builds confidence in decision-making while protecting our cubs from straying. This teaches authority and respect to the team.
Oh.
Then Uncle Duck waddled up. His feathers were all fluffed out as a sign he had been chosen to speak for both ducks and geese. He quacked to get everyone's attention.
Quack, 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 quack.
And then he spoke.
We can teach them. When we fly in the V formation, everyone gets the chance to lead. The leader at the front of the V must break through the air. This makes the path easier for those flying behind. And the ones behind the leader voice their encouragement. They say, "You are doing a good job. Thank you for making it easier for us to follow." Quack, quack, quack.
Uncle Duck paused, making sure he still had everyone's attention before continuing.
When our flight leader gets tired, he or she goes to the back. Then another one of us takes the headwind. And we never abandon those in trouble. If one of us is too sick or ill to continue, another of us goes down with the weak one to stay with them until they are better.
The sly fox sat up and looked at them with narrowed eyes.
When my family lived by the ocean, we moved to higher ground many hours before ocean storms came to the land. We were able to keep out of harm's way.
Then Elk and Ram spoke.
We who live in the forest and mountains know days before a volcano erupts. So, when you see us moving away from the mountain, you should move too.
They heard little squeaks, and it was Mother Mouse who pushed forward to speak next.
When you see us come above ground, bringing our families and all of our relatives, take notice. We know an earthquake is coming. Then you must leave that place as quickly as you can.
A sudden hush fell over the animals as the Great Spirit spoke again.
These are wonderful examples of how to treat your own families and how to treat each other. But teaching these examples to the new two-leggeds will not keep them from making more smog. It will not stop more bad air from being put into your lungs and into the trees and the water and grass. These examples will not keep them from blocking out the sun with their smog. They have been seeing all these fine examples of your daily behavior for a long time. Still, they choose to harm us and our mother, and their mother too, the earth. They do not listen. How now will you teach them good behavior? How will you show them what not to do? How will you get them to listen?
All those at the gathering remained silent. Each was thinking of the best way to answer the Great Spirit. Finally, three ravens fluttered into the center of the circle, each calling out at once.
I know.
The first raven cried out,
We must teach them that the forest and its creatures are not enemies to be harmed. They must not take more from our forest, rivers, lakes, and land than they need to sustain themselves. They must learn that each living thing on this earth is connected. We must teach them that each one of them, each animal, each tree, each blade of grass, each drop of water, each bit of blue sky, each golden ray of sunlight is important to everything else. They must learn that everything on our earth must live together in a good way.
The second raven flapped his wings excitedly.
And the two-leggeds must be taught not to waste, or leave trash behind, or set fires in the woods. I mean, it takes so very long for trees to grow back. It is not good to be careless.
The third raven stepped forward, looking at all of the animals, and shouted,
"Yes! The people of the First Nations knew they must be the caretakers of the earth and of this forest. These new two-leggeds must learn this lesson, too. They must learn to be responsible. If they are not going to contribute to Mother Earth's well-being, they should not damage her or cause her to be sick. We all depend on each other to keep the earth healthy."
Again, the Great Spirit spoke.
"But what if the two-leggeds still do not care? What will you do then, my beautiful ravens?"
The three ravens took a moment to confer. Then the largest one looked up proudly.
"Oh, Great Spirit, it is still not too late. Even if they will not choose to walk the good path, their children may still learn to become caretakers of the earth. The children can be made aware of the destruction taking place all around them. They are young enough to learn the consequences that their choices will have. I hope that they will choose to pass on a healthy world to their children and their children's children for the next 7 generations yet to come."
At this, all the animals nodded wisely. Then the smallest raven recalled an old Cree proverb.
"When the earth is sick, the animals will start to disappear. When this happens, the warriors of the rainbow will come to save them."
Mother Mouse turned and looked at the sky, saying,
"Great Spirit, can it be that these children may yet grow to be those warriors of the rainbow?"
Great Spirit spoke again.
"Yes, we are all part of this earth. The responsibility as caretakers should not always fall on the people of the First Nations or our forest creatures. The newcomers have many, many children. If their children choose to become rainbow warriors, the ancient Cree prophecy will have come to pass. Yes, I am most satisfied with this answer."
The Great Spirit was satisfied, and so the animals at the gathering were satisfied. Then Thunder Bear rose up again and growled loud enough for all to hear.
"The Great Spirit has found that their children are the ones who will listen. And we agree that they are the ones who will help us save our homes and take care of Mother Earth. Now, we must form a new tribe for them. And it shall be called the Good Heart Tribe. Go now to all the children and invite them to be members of the Good Heart Tribe.
At that moment, the smog on the mountain began to clear, and the animals at the gathering each took a deep breath. The wind rustled through the trees, whispering. The lake began rippling again, and two little fish jumped right out of the water, singing out,
"Hooray for the children! Hooray for the children! They will join our Good Heart Tribe. They will keep the water clean and save us. We will teach them that everywhere in nature there are lessons to help guide our behavior in a good way."
As the fish splashed back into the lake, the sky cleared, and the sun could be seen again, smiling at its reflection in the lake. And so, all of those at the gathering went in all four directions, looking for the children of the rainbow, to invite them to join the Good Heart Tribe. And this is a story that shows we are all a part of nature, not apart from nature.